on WSAU. We've got Badger football coming up at 12:30 with the pregame show. Badgers taking on Purdue from Camp Randall today. And then tonight, Brewer baseball. The Brewers trying to play spoiler in the National League as they take on the Cardinals once again at Miller Park. Pregame show at 6 o'clock. We've got the Polka shows on the way, but before that, it is Making Financial Sense with Merle Kelch. Merle Kelch here in the studio. He survived the fall ride.
I have survived the fall ride. I am a...
You weren't part of that big brawl up there?
We were not. We sit back in our little palatial estate or trailer in the woods, and we sit back there, and we had the Don Haiti, the blues guitar player, and his band play on our deck. It was absolutely just a blast, and kept us out of trouble.
All right. Well, and you are back here now, so we can take phone calls, 715-845-2155.
And please, phone calls today, guys. Give us a call, whatever questions you might have. We looked at it, and other than three articles, there's nothing left on the marketplace.
Well, the first question that everybody's going to be asking you in the next couple of weeks is, how do I get to be part of the Twitter IPO, which apparently they're going to do before Thanksgiving?
Boy.
Unlike Facebook, I think Twitter is going to be worth big money. I think Twitter is another Google.
Very well could be. The unfortunate part is nothing you're going to be able to do about it unless you know who the syndicate is going to be, which is the people who are bringing it out. So more than likely, it's there are probably four or five firms that are bringing it out, and I don't even know who it is. But those people are going to bring that out, and they will get the first shot at the stock. You and I will probably be able to buy it about 60 days to 90 days afterwards, after it comes out. And then that's the time to buy and start going crazy with it.
When the price has already run up, though, from the first couple of
days. Yeah, but remember, Google went up from, 30 to about 70, then went up to 500. So there's still plenty of money to be made afterwards.
Okay. 715-845-2155. What are the three articles you're talking about that you wanted to comment on today?
One is, why did the stock market go to 185 points? I don't know if anybody noticed.
It did.
But, we had a very busy day yesterday as a result of the stock market dropping. There was just kind of a hunch that was out there since it was what's called an option expiration date, as well as the market. If it had going down, you're going to have a lot of covered sells going in, this type of thing, and drive the marketplace down. So we were in our office working all day long buying stuff, which is the best thing to do on the market on these days. It was a day like this in recent years when you see the stock market just drop off to nothing is days when you have all these big options expiring. I remember, folks, when options expire, somebody has to buy or sell something, especially if it's from a commodity standpoint. But if the stock market is going down, these options then have to be collected, expired, and someone ends up holding the winning ticket, either good or bad, then it usually makes the market really volatile. So the questions we had is what's going to happen with the Fed, which, of course, the Fed did nothing. Market went up. Then as we come around the today, we see the market, or yesterday, the market comes dropping back down as a result of just simply volatility and a couple of the Fed watchers come to the Fed governors. One of them came out and says it looks like we're going to end up having a tapering in October, now known as Octaper. Who said people at Wall Street didn't have an imagination?
Could some of this be in reaction to the apparent craziness of the Republicans in the House of Representatives once again for the 41st or 42nd time trying to defund the Affordable Health Care Act, only this time doing it and tying it to the continuing resolution and basically forcing a showdown over the debt ceiling and the shutting down of the government?
I think if the Republicans didn't do that, the market would have went down 300 points.
Oh, come on.
I just had to do that. Really, the funding or defunding Obamacare really had nothing to do with this. Boehner had already spoke yesterday. The marketplace was actually marginal at that particular point in time, but it came out afterwards the St. Louis governor, and I can't think of his name. It'll pop up in here someplace, but he came out and said, I think we should start doing the taper probably in about October. Actually, no, he was the one who said that I think we lost a little bit of face because we didn't start the taper. Other people think we're gonna, another Fed governor said they're going to do it inside of October. That led more to it along with the options expiration and then covered short sales later on. A short sell, by the way, is if a person is betting that a individual stock is going to go from 10 to 5, they put that inside of the bet. And so if they think the stock is going to go to high on the other side with an option, they have to cover that so they're not losing their can. And so a lot of that sort of stuff started happening yesterday in a big sell-off going down. So I think it had more to do with that than what happened with the House, simply because we know that battle's going to go on anyway and they're going to continue to fight it. So I think that really had a little bit little effect on what happened in the marketplace.
All right, 715-845-2155 is the number to call. What else did you want to talk about today? BlackBerry?
Well,
if anybody still has BlackBerry
stock,
BlackBerry, you better what?
You know, BlackBerry, boy, they were the kings. Just like Nokia was the king.
They were,
you know,
the phone that everyone had to have.
Yeah. Remember Lucent Technologies? Everybody loved Lucent Technology. What Lucent Technology did is they created all these different machines that would make your phones go faster and quicker, and the reason we have internet on our cell phones and our phones work better and all these switches. Well, they did such a great job that all the competitors jumped ahead of them simply because they were so busy patting themselves on the shoulder they forgot to do anything with research and development, so their competitors jumped ahead of them. We had to see the same thing happen with Nokia. Nokia was so busy just making little bitty phones that flipped open, they forgot all the things that we wanted to do from business, such as emails and everything else. So the people that leapfrogged Nokia were BlackBerry. BlackBerry was so busy patting themselves on the shoulder because they thought it would be fantastic if this little thing called an iPhone came out and blew them right out of the water. So rather than hopping in and creating and hopping into this wave and redoing it as Samsung did, for example, they decided just to come out with a new version of what they already had, and nobody wanted it because the iPhones were quicker, faster, et cetera, et cetera. And the iPhones were already a couple of generations into this, and they couldn't keep up. And so as a result, just where you say c'est la vie to BlackBerry, it's probably done, finished, and cooked. I don't know if they can save that sinking ship anymore. It appears to be finishing over.
Will anybody buy them? Is there any reason for any other company to buy them?
I don't know. Look, Microsoft just bought Nokia.
Right.
But then again, Microsoft bought Nokia for essentially nothing comparative to the values of it. I think they bought it for some $7 billion, which was pocket change for Microsoft. But Microsoft has the ability to do a couple of different things, computing, gaming, and phone service now all in one shot, and they have it all under one house. So I think it was a pretty wise move on their part. I just hope that they have the people with the insight enough to carry that forward. Now, is somebody going to do the same thing to BlackBerry and buy it? I don't know. It would seem to make sense that somebody would buy up because certainly there's some assets and personnel that are good and continue on. I'd probably fire the whole executive staff because obviously they completely missed the boat on so many different things. Yeah, who knows?
All right.
It'll be interesting to see.
715-845-2155, the number to call. We'll take a quick break, come back with more. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Hi, this is John Greenhut. If you can have a bright white smile in 5 minutes, would I get your attention? Power Swabs is clinically proven to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes. Power Swabs whitens teeth 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. To try Power Swabs risk-free, dial 1-800-975-8323. I guarantee your friends will love your movie star white smile. Try it risk-free, 1-800-975-8323. That's 1-800-975-8323.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has 2 maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well.
Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below. Or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, taking your financial questions, 715-845-2155. Interesting column this week on MarketWatch from Robert Powell. And the title is, Why You Shouldn't Contribute to Your 401k. Now, obviously, we have heard forever since 401ks were invented.
Sure.
These are the greatest things since sliced bread, and you should maximize your contributions to your 401k whenever you can.
Yeah.
What's the situation where you wouldn't want to do that?
Well, you know, putting the money aside of the 401k goes back to that old question. And to do that, let me take a few steps back. It used to be that you put money inside of your IRA today so that when you retire, you can take that money out at a lower tax bracket. So that was a reason back in the 70s, and that was a promotion when IRAs first came out, that you put the money inside your individual IRA account again, put the money away today, and then take that money back out at a lower tax rate. Well, you know, if I ask the question for everybody out there and for you, Tom, how do you have a lower tax bracket when you retire? Have less income.
Okay.
And how many people really want to do that? Well, nobody on purpose. So with that being the case, it never really worked with putting the money away today at the current tax rate and being able to take it out at a lesser tax rate later on. So this is a whole thing that's been around for a long time, this whole discussion. So part of the things that Robert Powell is talking in here in the conversation that go on is that if we put the money inside of the 401k today, given what's happening from the current political climate, chances are the tax rates will not only go up later on, but we'll also continue to make some money, and we'll have to take money out at a higher tax rate later on than what we're putting it in currently inside of the 401k. So that's what they're talking about. Maybe we shouldn't do the 401k.
The suggestion being that a Roth IRA would be a better option.
A Roth IRA would be a better option, or a Roth 401k would be the better option. Now, in here, the part that I don't like about it is this. Tom, if you didn't put money inside of your 401k, would you put as much as you're putting in your 401k away automatically each month?
No.
And neither would anybody else. You know, so the behavioral side of this is that if we were putting money, are we not putting money inside of our 401k? We wouldn't have that ease of putting something away out of sight, out of mind, and as a result, I don't think we'd put the money away. After we retire, we want to start taking some money out. There's things that you can do to help control the amount of tax that you have to pay. You know, there's things that are out there that, you know, they're going to sound, they have the ability to have some pretty good risk to them. But if you need to, you can buy some things that create tax credits, investments that create tax credits against the amount of tax that you have to pay. You can buy things that give you what's called a write-off against your adjusted gross income if you have tax you have to pay. There are things that you can buy where you have some depreciation as part of it, perhaps even buying some real estate for depreciation. So you can do some things to control your tax, but I'd rather have some money someplace rather than not. So we continue on inside of this article talking about if you put the money away in your current tax rate in a 401k, probability is that your income's not going to go down if you're putting away a significant amount. The other part of that is that it's a high probability that you see the tax rates going up. So though you're putting that money away at a dollar today on a before-tax basis, but the taxes might be at effectively 25% today, effectively it grows and we have to pay taxes that's effectively maybe at 28 or 30% at that point in time.
All right, 715-845-2155. We had a call, but it disappeared, so give us a call right back, and they did. So let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who are we talking to?
Paul?
Hey, Paul, go
ahead.
I wish I had
more specifics here, but there's a company called Lynn. I think it's L-I-N. It's like a pipeline.
Yeah, Lynn Energies.
Okay. And I'm wondering what is the prognosis on that? Is this a good time to get in on that one?
Well, Lynn Energies, we've had a few clients that have been buying that over the course of the last number of weeks. And
turn your radio down just a little bit, all right? Can you do that? Okay. Go ahead.
We're okay?
We're okay.
No, apparently not.
Yeah, we're good. I can hear you fine.
Yeah, can you turn your radio down because we're getting feedback from your end?
I'm on Bluetooth technology, and I can't turn it
Okay.
It is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, we'll make this work.
Okay.
So Lynn Energies, I've had some clients that have been buying it for a while. Enjoy the stock. Of course, we've seen the stock pulling back like everybody else here over the course of Friday. But Lynn Technologies, of course, 18.5 a share, come back is about 18.5 a share, pretty close to its 52-week high right now. Analyst estimates, I'm going to give you some of this stuff. I can't tell you, Paul, whether or not to buy it, but I can tell you what analysts are saying and looking for it. And essentially in here, analysts, and this is through MarketWatch.com, have currently two buys. As were a month ago, it was one, and 3 months ago, it was two as well. But right now, the mean is to overweight or to buy additional of that stock. We've seen a lot of shares come through with us and clients in our office. The only thing that I have to say is make sure that you know that you're at a 52-week high. And going forward then becomes the question. And that I don't really have an opinion on from the radio program. So I hope that helps. When I take a look at the financials of Lynn Energy, and again, this is a quick snapshot of what I see right here. I'm not certainly going through a balance sheet or anything of this nature. But when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing improved sales throughout the course of the year, so their sales are continuing to keep going up. Their cost of goods sold relatively stable. I'm looking at their gross income, which also is continuing to keep going up. So I'm not seeing anything that tells me that this stock absolutely stinks and you have to run away from it. I hope that helps.
Okay. There's nothing in the mill about being acquired or them acquiring somebody.
I've not heard anything about that. Now, okay. There's always rumors that are out there, but I've not heard anything by any stretch of the imagination. Okay. Now, if we take a look at what insiders are doing in that stock, it appears as though if we go back to about a month ago, we had a bunch of insiders that were selling, but they were selling shares going into a trust. If we go back into September, we had a whole bunch of insiders buying it. As well as just recently we had an insider buying again when it was at about 17.5 a share. So it looks like over the course of the last 6 months, more sellers than buyers for insiders, which would be the officers, et cetera, for the stock.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, thanks. You've been very helpful.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the call.
How about it? The energy sector in general as far as what you're looking forward there?
You know, when you look at the energy sectors, It's good stuff if you want to continue on getting paid dividends. I had this conversation with a number of my clients. Everybody wants to be inside of the energy sector because they pay great dividends. And so the unfortunate part, in my opinion, is to see people, and the reason I'm saying it's unfortunate because people don't understand something here. Because CD rates are so low and not paying worth a darn, you have people pulling money out of CDs and they want to put the money inside of utilities because the utilities are going to pay a 4% dividend. I'm just putting this in quotes, folks. Well, the dividend may pay you a 4% dividend, but you don't realize that the underlying stock value can make your principal go up and down. And with that, it's important to note, folks, is that when you have energy stocks, the dividends may remain stable, which certainly is going to be the case if you have a good quality company. But as interest rates go up, dividends are energy stocks, primarily utility stocks, tend to go down like a bond marketplace. And so from that, we take a look at what's happened over the course of the last several months here because of interest rates. And we also notice the same thing with some of the energy stocks, the same thing. Energy meaning more utility stocks than if you got pipelines or something of that nature.
All right, 715-845-2155 is the number to call. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. We're going to take a break for some news. We'll come back with more. The phone lines are open, though. Give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Three tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good with a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm going to let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. At least six Iraqi SWAT officers are dead in a suicide bombing attack north of Baghdad early today. Security officials say four suicide bombers stormed a police headquarters in the town of Baji. A one-hour shootout occurred with one bomber killed. The other three blew themselves up when army reinforcements arrived. It was not immediately clear who was behind that attack. The second day of testimony in Jeffrey Trevino's murder trial brought the roommates of Jeffrey Trevino and Kira Stager to the witness stand, as well as Trevino's teenage daughter. Roommate Matthew Roth began testimony Thursday and finished up yesterday, telling the court he was sleeping in the basement the evening police believe Kira Stager was killed upstairs. Roth could not recall specific details about the night. 15-year-old Taylor Trevino told the court she often has nosebleeds but didn't recall having one in the master bedroom, where investigators found what they called copious amounts of blood. The Marquette University president, Scott Pallars, is resigning. A university spokesperson says Pallars notified the Board of Trustees of his decision yesterday. His resignation is set for the end of the fall semester. He's reportedly stepping down to pursue work as a priest. In sports, the Badgers take on Purdue today in the Big Ten opener. Badger game day begins right here at 12:30. The Brewers lost to the Cardinals last night, 7-6 in 10 innings. They'll play again tonight. You can hear that game right here. Pre-game show at 6 o'clock, and you can check out the complete high school scoreboard on our website at WSAU.com. The Newsline 9 weather forecast for today looks for some clouds this morning, then becoming sunny later in the afternoon, a high around 60. Partly cloudy tonight with an overnight low of 43. Sunny and pleasant tomorrow, high going up to 65. The outlook for Monday, sunshine, high 69. Tuesday, partly sunny and warmer with a high of 71. Looking ahead to Wednesday, more sunshine and a high of 75. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Hi, this is John Greenhut. If you can have a bright white smile in 5 minutes, would I get your attention? Power Swabs is clinically proven to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes. Power Swabs whitens teeth 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. To try Power Swabs risk-free, dial 1-800-975-8323. I guarantee your friends will love your movie star white smile. Try it risk-free, 1-800-975-8323. That's 1-800-975-8323.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, taking your questions. Let's go back to the phone. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Talking to Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, go ahead. You're on with Merle.
Morning, sir.
How are you today?
I am the best-looking man on radio.
I guess we all could say that.
Well, I need to, because I look like hell alive.
So what's on your mind today, Anthony?
Well, I have a question for Merle, and I want to see what his response is. I will give you what my scenario is, and then you give me what you think you would do. Okay. I recently run into a sum of money that I will be able to put away, inheritance. Let's just say for practical purposes, it's about $100,000.
Okay.
My age is 58. I'm already retired. I have a pension. So on and so forth. My wife is still working full time.
Okay.
I've got, I would say, a sizable nest egg. What would you do with 100K?
Well, let's forget that. Let's talk about, Anthony, how you got to retire and your wife keeps working. I mean, if we get we let that out to everybody, we'll have something there. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. You do not buy things you don't need. You save your money. You stick to a plan.
Yeah.
Stay in the stock market, whether it's high or low. You dollar cost average. And if you do get the opportunity to get into the stock market, when things are on sale, when everybody's getting out, you get in. When people are getting out, you still stay in.
Sounds like you got it figured out. So maybe have some fun with the 100K, huh?
There you go. I'd bet it on black.
No. It's not fun. It's all fake money.
You know, Anthony, in looking at this, if this is money that you don't, it sounds like you really don't need the money, correct?
Oh, I don't.
Well, you don't need the money to live.
No. Okay. You know, I can get by on my pension. And like I said, my wife is working full-time as a teacher. Plus, sure. When I retired, I worked a deal out with my company. And it my company, because I didn't take my company's health insurance.
Yeah.
They have a deal set up where they will pay my wife's health care premium for her health care.
Oh, that's
until,
nice.
Until she's 65.
Okay. Now, Anthony, do you have kids?
Kids are gone, but one's in a little bit of a trouble spot. He needs a little bit of guidance or a slap on the head or a punch in the face or whatever to get him back on
well,
track.
Whatever it
that's,
takes.
That's been done before and it hasn't worked, but I'm still feel like I'm up for the challenge. He's knocked me out once and I've knocked him out once.
This sounds like a lot of fun. Anthony, so, you know, sometimes in here, you know, if it's money that you don't need, you look at it and say, what can we do with this money to take it out for the kids later on? I'm assuming you've already done some estate planning attorney with some attorneys already, such as wills, trusts, et cetera, that type of thing, correct?
Well, we have done estate planning, and we've set up, because I have two kids, I had one kid that was, I had two kids, and I had them pegged backwards. The one that was super smart, I mean, never cracked a book and everything else, yeah, like a 3.99 grade average before he went to, you know, high school. I thought he was going to be the one that, to fly high and go. And the only one kind of just worked and, would always work and everything else. And come to find out, my oldest son, well, now he works for the federal government and he can make as much money as he wants. He's a telecommunications and, he works with fiber optics and, microwave stuff and,
sure.
PLCs and instrumentation, all the high-tech sure. stuff.
Well, Anthony, here's one of the things that you may want to consider.
Let me back up a second. So when we did the estate planning,
yeah.
We said, hey, one kid is responsible. If both of us, my wife and I, were to perish, he can have the full control of the whole thing. His half. He can get the half. But the other kid is only going to get income off of his half.
Sure.
Forever.
Sure.
I didn't want to do this, but because I have two sons, I have to have somebody run the estate. I had to put my older son, who's more responsible, in charge of it. That kind of pits brother against brother.
It hasn't turned out that way, though, huh? Well, let's let Merle. Thanks for calling. Let's let Merle kick around what you should do with that 100K in a situation like that. What should he do with 100K?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ideas that we would do in this type of situation. When you have something, we have certainly clients like this that have worked their job and their pension and Social Security is enough for them to live their lifestyle, and so that doesn't become an issue so much. And he said that he's got a nest egg already in here, and he says, well, I just inherited $100,000. So it appears as though the $100,000 isn't something he needs to live on as far as doing anything. So here's one of the things that I think is always a good idea on this. Now, with the estate planning rules that are out there now, he might have the ability to do something like this, is to take the $100,000 and have it go to an irrevocable trust. There are irrevocable trusts that are out there today that you have the ability to remain control of, even though it's irrevocable and the money's entirely out of your estate. Now, one of the beautiful parts about this is you can do a couple of different things with that. That $100,000 can go inside of that account, and you can do a few things, such as, one, perhaps buy a big life insurance policy that's a second to die, which means it's very inexpensive for a big death benefit. And in that way, you have the ability to guarantee that the kids are going to receive something or receive some dollar amount. So that's one way to do it. And one of the reasons people are doing that or looking at today is when you take a look at our trade magazines, because of the cost of nursing home insurance, and anybody out there that has nursing home insurance, you can see your premiums are going up right now, 50, 80% is going crazy. But now if you take that $100,000, you segregate it, you get it out of your estate into an irrevocable trust. That trust buys a large life insurance policy on husband and wife. It has a guaranteed amount that's going to come back to the beneficiaries, even if something happens with the nursing home and all the rest of the assets are taken out. So we'll do those types of things for monies that are now outside of the estate. The other part of that, you look at it and say, well, geez, with $100,000, is there any investment we can do potentially? Again, it's another idea. Is there anything we can do to purchase some investments that give us some tax credits back where we can reduce the amount of taxes that we have to pay, thereby, of course, saving some money out of our hand and having that money to be used for something different? For example, perhaps nursing home insurance or something for the kids or something of that nature. So that $100,000 can be used for tools to do a couple of different things that you wouldn't normally do, but it can be used for a number of different things if it's nothing that you're going to need from a retirement standpoint. So, Anthony, I hope this helps, or I hope maybe it sparks a couple of ideas for everybody that's out there. Let me make sure I go ahead and read our disclaimer so we get that part done here, Tom.
Okay.
You didn't wave your hand. It got me all nervous. The opinions voiced on this show are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies, and this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Anthony. You shouldn't hang up on me until I'm done.
Well, Anthony, we answered the question you had, and we have to move on here. 715-845-2155 is the number to call here. Want to keep things moving along just a little bit. There's an article that we were looking at this morning. Mark Hulbert is the author, and we've talked about his stuff before on MarketWatch. The days of easy money may be over. New indicators saying the time to sell is here. Would you agree that it's time to take some money off the table, or like our caller suggested, just keep buying and keep stay in the market? Dollar cost average, you're a big believer in that.
Sure.
Talk about that a little bit.
But one of the things that they have inside of the article that they're talking about in here is that there's some indicators that came out by a Mr. Droulard, and his comes from Ned Davis Research. He's the investment strategist for them. And inside of here, he's come up with everybody has their own model that determines what, where, and when. And his model is saying that the stock market might be a little bit overpriced, and as a result, he's recommending to his clients to start getting out of riskier investments and buying some higher quality investments. And I think that always makes sense in times you see the market go up. Now, do I think the stock market's overpriced? I don't. I think it's probably priced where it should be, and we really don't have much forward-looking built into it. But if we look at this, it's a nice little article. Again, Mark Hulbert, MarketWatch.com, has an article in here talking about the firm Ned Davis Research and Mr. Droulard, I apologize, and it talks about it. So in here, he says, our indicators work really well. He said the unfortunate part is sometimes it can lag. As they look back into the years back in the 90s, they said the stock market was too high back in 1998, and it took 2 years for the stock market to come back down. So the indicator was right. They just had to wait for it. Well, like so many times, Tom, you can say that the stock market's going to drop. I can say the stock market's going to go up. And if we get enough time, we'll both be right. But in here, the important thing to note is sometimes you got to take a little bit of money off the table and buy some stuff that's some good quality. Just for an example, we had a client this past week that says, I want to sell a stock because I've had it for a long time. It's went up quite a bit in value. And he took it out and he bought a stock that we would all know the name of, very good conservative stock. And he said, I want to buy it out, so round up my 100 shares. And then he's going to take the dividends and do the dividend reinvestment back into the stock because you can do that with that firm. So just as some of the things that Anthony was talking about before, doing the dollar cost averaging and reinvesting, we're going to end up doing the same thing with this stock. And the part I like about this is he's one of our oldest gentlemen at Invest. He is near 90 years old, and he's still out there watching the stock market and buying and selling stock and that whole bit. Kind of neat to see that.
Well, speaking of an investor like that, Warren Buffett had a couple of comments this week that were kind of
interesting. I talked to him this week, and he said.
Well, what did the Oracle of Omaha have to say?
Well, he thinks that Ben Bernanke should stay in there.
Right, and I'm sure that Ben Bernanke didn't appreciate that because he wants to retire and
I think he wants to get out and do something different. Well, you know, Ben Bernanke says that somebody who's hitting 400s, using baseball analogy, you just don't get rid of him. You find a way to have him keep in there and get him finish up and getting the job done. Warren Buffett did make a comment that I thought was pretty good, and he said, you know what, Ben Bernanke's doing a pretty good job, but I think he's leaving before the game is finished, meaning we're not finished up with the recessionary period of time coming up, and that he should stay in there and continue to keep moving on. Well, I don't think that's all that bad of a idea from his standpoint.
He made another interesting comment, too, where he said that shopping is pretty tough out there. He's talking about shopping for stocks now and companies. He said they've moved a long way. They were, quote, very cheap 5 years ago, ridiculously cheap, but that's been corrected. They're probably more or less fairly priced now. We don't find bargains around, but we don't think things are way overvalued either. We're having a hard time finding things to buy.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange coming from Warren Buffett, do you think?
Well, remember, Warren Buffett has made his money on buying stuff that's priced and it's cheap and it's going to make him money. Of course.
So what does Warren Buffett do in a situation like this, then, where he can't find things to buy? Where does he put his money?
He'll sit around and gain cash or do different deals back and forth. If you remember right, when we started having the peak of the economic crisis and the problems that were going down, Warren Buffett is actually the one who gave us the model on how we needed to use that TARP money originally. Warren Buffett loaned Morgan Stanley $5 billion and said, well, here you go. And by the way, I think that was from his personal pocket. Loaned them $5 billion and then took rights to their stock if the stock price went up. Stock. So not only did he make money in the $5 billion, but the stock price went up. He also made money on the stock price going up. And so that then became the model of how we help bail out the banks and hold up the banks. And so they'll look around and do deals like that. They'll look around the world. Remember, Warren Buffett does things on a global basis. So they'll look around and see if they find a company that they like or to borrow money to an organization. Or one thing that Warren Buffett has done a number of times is doing insurance and reinsuring things. They have done for a long time doing insurance on cities and so forth for hurricanes and that kind of stuff coming through. So,
all right, 715.
He always finds a buck.
He does. Always. It always seems that way anyway. 715-845-2155. We'll be right back after this on WSAU.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one...
In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn... is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Drew Brees, and being a dad means the world to me. And one of the most important things any parent can do is make sure their kids get active at least 60 minutes each day. Studies show that physical activity not only helps kids stay healthy, it can enhance important skills like concentration and problem solving, which can improve academic performance. This means physical activity can help your kids in the most important game of all, life. Learn more at fitness.gov.
Brought to you by HHS.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here in the studio, taking your phone calls and questions, 715-845-2155. Then we're going to call if you have a question from Earl. Well, the precious metal industry and the market got very interesting on Friday.
It did indeed. We saw the prices of, and of course, now we just went through, prices of gold just bounce around. We said so many times in here, you know, and I do think that gold is probably a buy right now because it's now at 1326 an ounce. Looking back, it was near 1900 at one particular point in time. But, you know, we talk about how gold can bounce around. I'm just throwing this out there for some fun, folks. We saw gold drop $43 an ounce, or 3.16%, and that was just on Friday, folks. So watch the volatility of the precious metal. We've said it so many times, it can really bounce around.
All right, let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Anthony, are you going to cut me off?
Well, Anthony, we already answered your question. Yeah, we're going to move on to another question here. Good morning. Who are we talking to? Hello?
Nelson Wolf.
Hey, Nelson, go ahead. You're on with Merle.
Hey, Nelson.
Yes.
Hey, Nelson.
I had a question about what the end game here is. It seems like if you read about the Federal Reserve, what they're doing, it's not sustainable. And, you know, this could go on for decades. This person yelling they're putting in probably is going to continue these policies. And
what policies are you talking about, Nelson?
Quantitative easing.
Okay.
And, you know, how long can this go on?
Well, it's not going to go on much longer. You know, they already have some targets that have been set. You know, originally they had it so that was going to be when we saw unemployment hit 6% or something of that nature. I don't know if they're going to wait till it gets down that far. But the quantitative easing is just in there to help continue to stimulate the economy so that it continues to keep growing on an even
It doesn't sound like Nelson believes it's ever going to end.
Yeah, it won't continue on. It can't continue on indefinitely. Eventually, it's going to go.
I disagree. I think that what they're doing right now is basically bailing out the federal government and monetizing the debt. And that, at this point, looks like the federal government is just going to continue with what they've been doing. And I don't see how the Federal Reserve can stop quantitative easing, frankly.
You know, there's discussions out there whether or not the quantitative easing is really having that much of an effect anyway. There's a number of economists, and one of them, Brian Westbury from First Trust, thinks that quantitative easing just isn't going to matter. And I'm of the same opinion because it simply makes sense to me in the sense that if we stop the quantitative easing, it's not going to matter, at least not much, at least not a large effect, because somebody's still going to continue to buy those mortgages. And it's just going to simply shift from the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve to the banks within the Federal Reserve system that are going to buy them and put them inside their mortgages. Some effect on interest rates, probably, but probably not enough to make things crazy. You know, if we take interest rates and we just stop all the quantitative easing, and let's say we add 1% or 1.5% to the interest rates as they are right now, that's still historically low when we take a look at interest rates in regards to mortgages, et cetera, et cetera. We're still at a historic low. We could probably even make the case if we add 2% on top, and we're still at a historic low. So quantitative easing is there, yes, stimulative. Is it having as much stimulus as we think? I don't think that it is. You know, one of the Federal Reserve governors actually made a statement yesterday saying that he thinks the Fed lost credibility by not starting to taper or stop reducing some of the bonds. And that may or may not have been the case. The marketplace was ready for it, hence we saw the big jump when they didn't do it. So the Federal Reserve, I don't think, continues on that policy much more than maybe 12 months at most. But that's just nothing more than my guesstimate.
Well,
respectfully, I know that's the consensus probably, but I don't agree with that. I think that quantitative easing is here. The rules have been modified, and I think now the Federal Reserve, they can't do anything about interest rates. The bond markets are not responding the way they want. And so that's all they have left is quantitative easing, and I think that's here to stay. That's all. I just wanted to say that.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Nelson.
I mean, do you think that some of this is, and the conspiracy theorists will say that quantitative easing is nothing more than a scheme for the rich to get richer. The financial institutions see it as a huge money-making opportunity, and the guys with the money are making even more money because of this.
I don't see that at all, because the bonds and the mortgages are being – I'm sorry, the mortgages that are being created – and that's essentially what they are, is they're bundled mortgages, bundled into bonds that they're buying, they being the Fed. Somebody's going to buy them. So the question that comes as simply is, what's the price going to be? So if the Federal Reserve is buying them, we're going to have price A. If the open market's going to buy them, it's going to go more of an auctioning type of an effect, and they're not going to get A, they might get B or C for a price. So somebody's still going to buy them. They're not going to disappear. Now, the real stickler in here is that if mortgage rates go up, will we have as many bonds to buy? Will people buy as many houses? And I think people who are wise in this can still see that interest rates are historically low. So if you're not getting them at 3.5%, but you're getting them at 4.50%, that's still pretty low for a mortgage. And right now, the 30-year mortgages are almost non-existent at banks. Nobody wants 30-year mortgages at the moment. Everybody wants a mortgage that's 15 years, and the reason is because it's so short. You know, banks aren't holding their mortgages right now because they don't want to hold mortgages at a low interest rate.
Plus, you're able to keep the monthly payments down because of the low interest rate.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think the banks would actually see prefer to have interest rates go up a little bit on this, because perhaps they'll start writing some 4.5% or 5% mortgages again, and they'll want to keep them in-house and just have that be the financing for the bank. You know, that's just a thought or an opinion.
All right, well, do you have any fall classes coming up that we need to talk about?
We have some scheduled, but our schedule just went so goofy, we just are not able to do it. So we're trying to see if we can schedule in a couple of what we call our one-day classes, folks. So there'll be a couple of hours with a class with a break in there. We'll try to touch upon most of the subjects, but we try to cover them all in one night. So we're looking at scheduling some of those in the mid or the latter part of October or the beginning part of November. So
all right,
keep us posted.
In the couple of minutes we have left, if folks maybe are thinking about coming to see you, maybe haven't seen a financial advisor, and what should they bring along for that first visit that you need to look at, or what questions are you going to ask them in that first visit?
You know, the first question I always ask is, where do you think I might be able to help answer the questions? Because people usually come to see a financial advisor for a reason. Something's happened. Work, retirement, inheritance, sickness or illness. But there's a reason they come to see me. And so in that, ask yourself the question, what do I want to do? Now, if your idea is, well, I think I want to retire in about 10 years. Well, put that down. I want to retire in 10 years, and then see a financial advisor and say, this is what I intend to do. This is what I want to find out. So I want to ask those questions. Now, obviously, you got to go through the supporting information and documents, such as, you know, how much do you make from earnings standpoint? How much do you have you saved? What are you putting away? How much do you have put away in your 401k, and how much are you contributing with the matching contributions? The other thing that's so important in here is to know what's going to happen with health insurance. And I know that's really up in the air at the moment with the new legislations coming through. But what's going to happen with health insurance? You know, for example, Anthony was actually alluding to the fact that, you know, he had a deal with his employer because I think his wife carried his health insurance. Okay, so he had a great deal with that. His employer was going to cover hers later on. So, you know, we have to know what's going to happen with the health insurance. Why? Because health insurance costs as much as a mortgage. The other part is where is your mortgage? We want to have the mortgage paid for when you retire. Why is that? Because, again, health insurance is going to cost about the cost of a mortgage. We're going to try to pay that up, so you have the money there to cover the cost of the health care. So these are all the things that we look for when retirement comes. Do you have life insurances? Where are they? Are you still paying for them? Are they good? So you have to have all the information. So what I suggest is you grab all the financial papers that you have, put them inside of a basket or a paper bag, and when you see your financial advisor, you throw it on the desk and wish them luck, and you go have lunch.
Okay, all right. All right, and if folks want to do that, if folks want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Bring your paper bags, hopefully with sandwiches rather than papers.
Yeah.
Come to 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street here in Wausau and come down and visit us. Stop on in for a cup of coffee, and perhaps you'll catch me running around here. And I'll actually only be in the office on Monday this week, and we'll be out doing a little bit of traveling there next week. But come and visit us, 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street, Wausau, Wisconsin. Come on in. Give us a call, 715-849-3600 here in the Wausau area. Outside, toll free, 866-355-5100, or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
See you there, brother.
Merle Kelch, Kelch and Associates in Wausau. We've got the news on the way. That'll be followed by the Polka shows. Badger football today. Pregame show at 12:30 as the Badgers take on Purdue. And then tonight, the Brewers and the Cardinals from Miller Park. Pregame show at 6 o'clock. All right here on WSAU.
Lupus is one of the cruelest, most mysterious diseases on earth. Difficult to diagnose, hard to live with, and a challenge to treat. It strikes without warning and can ravage any part of the body with devastating impact. Lupus can be disabling and fatal, yet research on lupus remains underfunded. Help us solve the cruel mystery. We're the Lupus Foundation of America. Learn more online at lupus.org or call us at 1-800-558-0121.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama, in his weekly message addressing a House Republican plan to kill Obamacare as a condition of passing a spending bill or raising the nation's debt ceiling. The president says he's willing to work with Congress.
But there's also a faction on the far right of the Republican Party who've convinced their leadership to threaten a government shutdown if they can't shut off the Affordable Care Act. Some are actually willing to plunge America into default if they can't defund